Hey, welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And it's that time of the week. We bring in Darren McFarland, host of Darren Donica Chase, also handles the Predators pre- and post-game duties as well for the Nashville Predators Radio Network. Darren, what's going on, brother? How are we doing?
Good morning, Robbie. How are you?
We are doing wonderful. What's the situation looking like in your neck of the woods? Pretty icy out there today.
It's very white, very white, very white and quiet in the neighborhood. As I look out, I do not see a car moving. The driveways look full this morning. I do not see any activity in the neighborhood.
I would imagine so. And speaking of lack of activity, Joe, there was a lack of activity in the offensive zone for the Nashville Predators on Saturday night against the Detroit Red Wings. I mean, you're talking six shots on goal halfway through the game. You know, they've had some struggles offensively so far this year. Do you see a way out of this at this point if you're the Predators? Or could it be that this roster just simply is what it is and this roster is going to have trouble putting together consistent offensive performances all season long?
We're not going to ease into this morning hit at all, are we? We're just going to hit head first. Okay.
Speaking of people who struggle on the ice, the Nashville Predators.
Wow. Boy, that escalated in a hurry. You know, Saturday night was obviously not good, to say the least, and I was kind of in and out of it a little bit on Saturday. I wasn't feeling great, and I got on Twitter for just a couple minutes, and then I got right back off and said, nope, I'm going back to bed. Nope. This is getting ugly in a hurry. It looked – social media was a bad place on Saturday night. Bad. I don't know. You guys lived it. You know, I was on the periphery. I was on the outside looking in. But, yeah, people are mad. And look, I understand it. We talked about it some on Friday. And, Robbie, you know, you came on, and I asked you at the very end of, okay, you know, if this is what it is, and not saying that that's what it is, but if this is what it is, what do you do? I mean, you've made all these changes. They've tried to fix this, and they've made moves. David Poile has not been sitting on his hands. I mean – he's changed coaches. There's new coaches on the bench. There's new players now. But there's still kind of one thing that's been intact the whole time, and that's the core. So, I mean, what is the next move if this can't get fixed? And quite honestly, it looks bleak to be fixed, right? It's at times you listen to the players. I don't know. You guys tell me. Does it sound like they believe it can be fixed? At times I wonder if they think this thing can be fixed. You know, Saturday night, I said on Friday, like, look, or actually going into, I guess it would have been on Thursday, going into that series, I said, look, if you're not talking of at least 3 points, and I know it's kind of silly to be talking like that in February, but it's kind of not. Think about it. If this was a full season, do you know where we would be in a full season right now? We would be right at the midway point of a full season. And I don't believe anybody ever at the midway point of a full regular hockey season is saying, hey, it's too early, you know, way too early for this stuff. Typically, you're like, okay, it's at the midway point of the season. And, you know, if there's concerns, then people are expressing their concerns. And I don't think that's any different right now. And they obviously didn't come away with at least 3 points. Saturday night was a really, really bad showing against, let's just call it what it is, a bad hockey team. Detroit's not a good hockey team. They're not. And to have that performance at home, I mean, I understand why the fans are mad. But the question is, being mad is one thing, but it's up to David Poile and John Hines and these players to fix it. And that's what everybody's trying to figure out. Can they actually fix this and turn this around?
Yeah. Well, Darren, I want to ask you about Hines. And before I even ask you the question, you know, I'm fully in, you know, the Adam Vingan camp of, like, how could you even talk about the coach, like, in terms of a coaching change right now? I mean, Adrian Dater the other night puts out on Twitter that, you know, he hears Hines on the hot seat. I mean, I think that's crazy. But I will ask you, do you think that, you know, the system is not fitting the talent right now? Like, is part of the problem that the system does not fit some of these players?
It's a hard one to answer, Joe, because I go back to what I said at the beginning. there's been changes, and the results are still the same. So we can talk about the lack of scoring, the lack of shot output. I mean, what did they have? I mean, you guys, like I said, I was a little bit more out of it on Saturday night. And what did they have, like 10 shots through two periods?
I mean, yeah, they had six halfway through the game.
Yeah, it's, we all know it's just not acceptable. Is that really a system? Is that really a coach? These are professional hockey players. Like, at some point, I mean, I've had this talk with my son who's playing basketball in the office. I was like, son, if they're not, you got to bring the action to you, man. Sometimes it's up to you to create something. Like, get out there and get involved. Don't run to spots, okay? I understand. I'm not telling you to go against your coach, but put yourself in the action. Like, what does the system have to do with six shots halfway through a professional hockey game, or nine shots or 10 shots through two periods? I mean, at some point, isn't it up to the players to – I mean, they know what's at stake. They know – nobody is saying that nine shots through 40 minutes is the recipe to beat a professional hockey team. I mean, at some point, isn't it up to the players to create and do things? Whatever there's a system, whatever they're being told by the coaches, I mean, come on. I don't know – it's a fine line. I don't know what's going on behind the scenes. Obviously, we're not privy to any of that because none of us are allowed to walk in that room, right? We haven't gone downstairs this year, so I have no idea. We are watching everything from afar, Joe. But, I mean, this team right now, they can't score. They don't look like they're even close to scoring, and it's just not good enough. I mean, everything they're doing is just simply not good enough. And you ask yourself, how could that possibly be? I mean, how could that possibly be? Philip Forsberg is a good player. Roman Josi is a fantastic player. Ryan Ellis can play. Matt Duchene can. These guys can play. They know hockey. So tell me, how does this happen? And so I don't know what it is. I don't know about a hot seat. That sounds, first of all, sounds ridiculous. But I do know that, look, David Poile, we all know, wants to win. He's made no bones about it. He is trying to win on his watch. And every year that goes by, that is going to seem a little bit more bleak to David Poile. So it's not like he's going to sit around and accept this. But I know everybody's trying to find the answers, but I don't know why this isn't working. I mean, they brought Granlund back because he was getting production out of John Hines. He was the guy who actually was producing under John Hines. So, I mean, you really can't point at anybody because when you look around, who's really tearing it up? Who's the exception to the rule? I guess Philip Forsberg is, right? I mean, if we had to all identify who's the exception to the rule, it's Philip Forsberg right now. We all know one man is not going to change a season. But, I mean, where is everybody else? And are we really going to blame that on a system or a coach? I mean, at some point to me, if I'm a player, you had a closed-door meeting. You say, the hell with everybody. We'll figure this out on our own. We're going to go out there and we're going to do this. I mean, you get that response from a closed-door meeting. It's concerning. But I didn't really answer because it's hard, Joe, because we're all from afar. We're not in that room. We don't get a vibe. We don't know what's going on like years past. I could tell you a lot more in years past because you know what? As Robbie knows, I'm in there all the time. I'm around the guys. I know what the vibe in the room is. I know if there's a good vibe or a bad vibe. And right now, I don't have any idea, just like nobody else.
Darren McFarland, host of Darren, Donick, and Chase on the line with us. And Darren, I do want to get your thoughts on this because Saturday night, notwithstanding, I think it's pretty obvious that Pekka has been the better goaltender as of late. So if you're the Predators, how do you go about handling that the rest of the season? He gives you the best chance to win right now, at least in my opinion, in the last few games. But you've also, I think, got to figure out exactly what UC Saros is as well. So how do you go about approaching that if you're the Predators for the remainder of the season?
Well, if you're asking me, I think my answer is going to be a little bit different of how it's going to be played out. I think it's pretty clear John Hines is a coach that's going to play whoever he feels like can give his team the best. He's going to reward whoever he feels like is playing the best. So, I mean, I think it's pretty clear if everybody feels, and it's pretty it's pretty easy to see exactly what you just said. Pekka has been the better goaltender. Once again, they're not giving him any run support. They're not scoring any goals. They're not giving him any goal support at all. So I think he's going to ride the guy that gives him the best chance. John Hines, I mean, let's be honest, Robbie. Does John Hines really care, if you really get down to it, about what the future? Right, he's trying to win games now. He doesn't know what the future is going to be like. He doesn't know how long he'll be around. We know this league, if you're not winning and you're not producing as a coach, you're here one day and you're gone the next. I don't think John Hines is really worried about a three-year plan right now, about, you know, what his UC Saros. We've seen enough of UC Saros. I mean, it's not like UC Saros has barely played. I mean, UC Saros has over 100 NHL starts. I mean, I get it. He hasn't been the guy until this year, and that didn't last very long. But to me, John Hines is in the business of winning hockey games. And so he's going to play whoever gives him the best chance to win, and it's pretty clear right now it's Pekka.
Darren McFarland, host of Darren Donick and Chase, and handles the Preds pre- and post-game duties on the Nashville Predators Radio Network, has been our guest here on Robbie and Rexro. Darren, great stuff as always, my man. Appreciate you taking time to join us.
Thank you, guys. Be safe.
Absolutely. You as well. When we come back, hey, we'll react to a little bit of what Darren had to say there and look ahead to the Predators matchup tonight against Dallas. Also, some borderline concerning comments after the game on Saturday night against Detroit as well. We'll react to those next coming up. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Hope everyone is being safe out there. Obviously, traveling conditions today are not ideal. So if you absolutely have to be out, make sure you're being careful. If you don't have to be out, I think we would all recommend that you stay indoors today. Obviously, some rough weather out there, some more on the way later today. So we'll keep you updated on that as best as we can all day long here on Robbie and Rex Road and on ESPN 102.5 The Game as well. Joe, I've got an update for you. The cinnamon rolls have been completed and the taste test has verified they're very good.
He's still on mute.
Of course he is. Joe, can you take yourself off of mute?
There we go. The funny thing is I've been cackling for the last few seconds at myself about being on mute. So that would have been funny to hear on the show, but unfortunately I was on mute. Okay, so give me a little scouting report. We're talking like Pillsbury. We're talking like homemade. Yeah. Okay. I mean, those those are solid, man. I mean,
didn't quite go all out for the homemade, but the Pillsbury type, yeah, pretty good.
Oh, yeah. That works every time.
Very jealous. So, Joe, we've talked about the Nashville Predators, and we've talked about it all show long at this point. A tough loss on Saturday night, 6-9-0 to begin the season right now for the Predators. They'll be back at it tonight against the Dallas Stars. I believe puck drop at 7 o'clock tonight, Ryan Porth. Is that right?
Pre-game at 6 o'clock? 7:30 puck drop.
7:30.
So pregame at 6:30, which means I have an abbreviated Preds Insiders at 6.
Look at you. How about you getting a little 30-minute Preds Insiders in there? So puck drop 7:30, pregame at 6:30 right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And, Joe, we played this a little bit earlier, but I want to revisit it right now as well because I thought it was very interesting after the game on Saturday night against Detroit. Philip Forsberg had some comments after the game, Ryan Ellis as well. And we've talked about offensively just what's going wrong right now for the Predators. It seems like a constant theme this year has been it's taken them a while to get going. They've played pretty well for the most part in the third period. A lot of that has been in games that they've been trailing in so far this year. And Philip Forsberg was asked after the game on Saturday about why it's just taken them so long to get going offensively, why it hasn't gone well in the first couple of periods so far this season. Here's what Predators forward Philip Forsberg had to say.
I don't know. I can only really speak about today, but today we're not really dialed in. I think that's the biggest thing. Obviously Detroit came ready to play today. They played a lot more physical than the other day, and we didn't match that at all until the third where we got going. And, yeah, it's obviously not good enough.
So that was Forsberg after the game on Saturday. And, Joe, he later went on to talk about how maybe dialed in's not the right word because he thinks that the intentions are good for the players heading into the game. But, obviously, it's not working in the opening couple of periods so far for the Predators this season. And I'll say this. It sounded to me like somebody who's searching for answers after the game was over. And I'm not sure how many answers the Predators have on the table right now. It was rough on Saturday night, and you could sense some pretty visible frustration from Forsberg and Ellis, who we'll hear just in a minute after the game.
Yeah, and, you know, we talked a little bit about this earlier, but I actually want to ask you this, and both of you guys this, you know, because, well, I guess for one thing, like, my memory isn't always great, but, like, does this feel exactly like last year when they were going through the ups and downs? I mean, just some of the comments, I'm like, gosh, I heard this last year. Not saying it's the exact same situation on the ice. I think it might be worse, but I'm just wondering how much it makes you think of that.
I think from the actual comments themselves, yes. From the frustration that I think is pretty visible on their faces, no. I think it's different. I think you're seeing a team right now that is just searching. I think last year they were trying to find a way to get their game back, but I think they truly felt like at some point it was going to come back and they were going to be able to be a playoff team and turn it on. I felt like they thought that their game was coming together right around the pause last year. And as we know, the pause happens, you come back, you're out in four games against Arizona. Right now, this team, you can sense the frustration. And to me, like I said, I mean, it just seems like a team that feels like they're searching for answers and has less and less confidence by the day that they're going to find those answers. I don't know, Port, do you feel the same way?
I would say that's probably accurate. I mean, last year we heard the same song and dance after a lot of the losses, but this just feels different from the players of the amount of frustration. So, yeah, I would agree with you, Robbie.
Yeah, and it's one of those things, too, that, you know, there are different issues in last year. Like, you know, the power play was an issue last year. It's still an issue now. The penalty kill has been an issue all season long. But it's not like they were, like, consistently just bad to start games and not able to get anything going offensively. Like, as disappointing and as unproductive as they were last year offensively, it was never this bad. And to me, that's where I think the frustration is starting to come in.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, I mean, look, a year ago there was a growing sentiment, and it turned out to be the way they went, but the growing sentiment was, no matter what you think of Laviolette, you know, I think you've talked about it, Robbie, and we've talked about it. He does seem to have a shelf life. You know, his voice seems to have a certain amount of time that it really works, and then it kind of goes the other way, and it's time to move on. But like, so that, I mean, and I understand people are talking coach now, but like, to me, it's crazy. I'm not saying John Hines is the greatest coach ever, and he doesn't share some responsibility here, but if you are immediately going to coach right now, like, I think you're glossing over the pretty obvious issue. You know, I mean, this roster right now does not look like it's good enough. And a lot of guys on this roster who may have the achievement in their past are not performing up to that level. And I mean, I agree with what D-Mac said last segment. Like, if you're this putrid as they were for a lot of that game Saturday night, you really going to put that on system?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's a fair question at this point. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Kathleena to the show. Kathleena, thanks for calling in to Robbie and Rex Road.
How are you guys doing this morning?
Doing great. How are you?
Good, good. My question is, Robbie, you've been around the NHL for quite a while. My question is how many teams have come into the season with half of their roster brand new? Never played for Nashville, never played in the system before, whatever system it might be, and no training camp, basically. So how hard is that to get and I'm not trying to make excuses for them. You're an NHL player. You should be able to adapt. But how often does that happen? Because you don't see that with Tampa. Tampa's got pretty much the same roster they had. A lot of the teams still have pretty much the same rosters that they had. So could that play a part into it as well, as far as trying to find chemistry for these guys?
Hey, thanks for the call, Kathleena. I think that's a great point. And Joe, I do think there is some of that to this. Like, to Kathleena's point there, they haven't had much of a training camp. You've got some new pieces on here. Now, there are also some lines that have been together for a long time and that started the season together or have been together at some point that should have that chemistry, that should have some familiarity with each other, and they haven't played very well either. So that's the pushback to that argument. But I do think, and we had, you know, Philip Forsberg on Smashville Live a couple of weeks ago, he talked about it. I mean, there are a lot of new pieces that you've got to get figured out. The tough part about this year is you don't have a lot of time to figure it out. And I certainly think that's a factor in this. I don't think it's the overriding factor as to why they've struggled as much as they have.
Yeah, I mean, I think there are good points made there, but you could also find examples out there of teams with new pieces and even quite a few that have found a way to perform. And some of it is, I mean, I think some of it is as simple as what are you doing yourself with your shift each time, you know, as an individual. Then, you know, of course it gets to chemistry, and there was some talk about that after the game. You know, I thought Ryan Ellis had some interesting comments about just like how people are, what people are doing with the puck, which sounds like a team that's disconnected. And certainly you can go to system two if you want. But I do think in some cases it is like simple, like win a puck battle, you know,
yeah.
Go take the shots and stand in front of the net, hit somebody, block a shot. I mean, things like that. Like they had the players only meeting. And I think anybody who watches this team notice like that first period of the next game, people are flying all over the place trying to block shots, right? I mean, you know, but then it was sort of like a short term thing, and they have not been able to put their finger on how to get to the point of executing and being offensively threatening. And I don't think you can chalk that all up to just some new pieces.
We'll continue to take your reaction to the Predators on our phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. That's coming up next. Also, revisit a state of journalism discussion that we visited earlier in the show regarding Jerry Stackhouse, the Nashville Predators. A lot of things here in the town coming up here in just a second. But right now, I got to tell you about my friends at FanDuel. And one of the things I love about betting on basketball is I'm always finding new player props or game props that I like. And what's cool about FanDuel Sportsbook is you can combine these props with other bets from the same game to score an even bigger payout. And it's called the same game parlay bet. And you can only find them on FanDuel. You can combine the money line, the over under, the point spread, anything you want to take it in the same game, you can do that. And right now, new and existing users could get up to $25 back each day if your parlay falls one leg short with same game parlay insurance. You heard that right? Every single day. It's been so easy to use FanDuel. They get you your money in as little as 24 hours. They've got great odds boosts and specials and live betting on every game. So just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app today and try a same game parlay and use promo code Rob at signup. That's promo code Rob. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. A max refund of $25. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. And for problem gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789.
Hi, Ryan. Obviously, you guys had a players-only meeting a few games ago, and this game happens here. What kind of shakeup in terms of things that need to be changed? What can be done to make this team be better in terms of offensive zone time and the defensive zone? What kind of shakeup are you wanting to see as a leader in this team?
Some composure with the puck. I feel like we get out of our D zone fine. I mean, it can always be better, but it's fine. And we get into the O zone and we don't set the next guy up for success. We just move pucks and hope he makes a good play. And that's not winning hockey. That's not how we're supposed to play. And again, it needs to change.
That was Ryan Ellis after the game on Saturday night for the Nashville Predators. And Joe, obviously a very frustrated Ryan Ellis after the game, a 4-2 loss for the Predators against Detroit on Saturday night. What do you think about what Ellis said there in terms of basically just kind of slapping the puck around? Favreau a couple weeks ago talked about how there's not much trust right now in the offensive zone. And Ellis talked about it. I mean, they get out of the D zone fine. They're coming through the neutral zone fine for the most part. But once they get in the offensive zone, they're having a very tough time setting up anything and really sustaining anything in the offensive part of the zone.
Yep. Does that count as a mute pause? I mean, it was like
a half second. Yes, it does.
Yes, it counts.
That's three. Well, you know, it's tough weather, man. Tough weather. Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. It's again, like to me, it's sort of like the question of, okay, obviously certain guys have to play better. You know, certain guys have to do more on their own. But, and I've heard this about hockey. Now, of course, I've heard this about a lot of sports, but still, I've heard hockey, the ultimate team sport, so hard to manufacture scoring chances. Here and there, you'll have, you know, one guy who rips through everyone and scores, but it is very much it's timing and chemistry and, you know, five people working together. And so that's, I guess that's my question is, how much of this is like these guys not connecting with each other versus individuals who are, I don't know about slacking, but just simply aren't playing their best?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a great question. I think it's a combination of everything at the moment, which is why it's so frustrating, I think, if you're a Predators fan, because I don't think there's like one specific thing that you can point to. But the combination right now, I mean, the results on the ice speak for themselves. I mean, they're in a tough spot, and they're in a spot right now, as Ryan Ellis said, it's going to be tough for them to dig out of if this continues. So we'll see if they can respond a little bit better tonight against the Dallas Stars. Let's go to our text line. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, Henry texts in and says, the Preds roster is a result of a 14-year, $110 million contract for one player that was all front-loaded. You can't expect to round out your team with role players with that money tied up in one player. Look at the Blackhawks, $108 million tied up in Kane and Taze. Sure, they won the Cup in 2014 and after signing, but where are they now? I don't know how much of the roster I put on, or much of the blame for this, I put on the 14-year, $110 million contract that Shea Weber signed. Like that to me has nothing to do with this.
Yeah, that's a bit of a stretch there. You know, look, what we have right now with this team, you still have, I think, some very good contracts. Again, like we've talked about, like Ekholm and Arvidsson in particular, guys who I think, you know, given what they were doing, even Forsberg, you know, you got pretty good team-friendly deals for those guys, you know. But it comes down to you've had to pay some people, and eventually a lot of your guys mature. They come up, and what are you going to do? You're going to keep them or not? I mean, it's hard for me to like knock the. I can't find one where I'm like, man, that was just a big miss by Poile to lock this guy up. Now the Tourist trade, yes. The Hartman trade, yes. You know, that's one thing, and you know maybe the Fiala trade too, but. You know, you have a lot of high-performing players for a high-performing team at the time. Are you not going to lock up that nucleus? But to me, it's like a lot of this story is a lot of that nucleus just seems to be on the decline right now.
Yeah, and that's the problem, because some of these players that you've already paid, like Ryan Johansson, I think is a perfect example. I mean, he was pretty productive the first couple of years after you paid him, and since then, struggled last year. I know he's hurt right now, but he didn't get off to a great start this year either. So some of it's just that. I mean, you can't just let your good players walk. So you've got to find a way to pay them, but you're also taking a risk when you do that. And right now, some of these risks that Poile has taken have not worked out and are not working out right now for the Predators. So that's either going to have to change, or you're going to have to change the makeup of the players. And that's going to be the next step for the Predators if this continues. Joe, I want to get back into something that we were talking about earlier in the show, and we brought it up with Jerry Stackhouse in your article that you had on Friday that we discussed here on the show, made some more noise over the weekend with Stackhouse responding to it in his post-game press conference on Saturday. And you kind of laid it out for us earlier in the show here today, but quickly, as we go back and kind of revisit this, what were your thoughts on that? What were your thoughts on Stackhouse coming out over the weekend and talking about it in the post-game press conference? And what's your reaction now that you've kind of sifted through all the reaction that piece got on social media all weekend long and still getting reaction right now?
Yeah, well, there's another one coming too, by the way. The transcript of the interview with him will be up there. You know, and again, a lot of stuff in there actually that's unrelated to this that is, I think interesting. But, you know, look, one thing is I did not correctly anticipate. I mean, the Trump quote that he gave, which is, you know, everybody has seen it now. You know, I threw that into the story, just like three other quotes that kind of led sections. So it was out of context. I never took it as him saying like attacking Vanderbilt fans or anything, but some people have gone there. Obviously I think he took a lot of crap for that starting on Friday when the story ran, but honestly, I think that having talked to Jerry Saturday and then even in talking to him for the interview, I think the biggest issue he has is Jeff Goodman in his voice and the shots he took at Jerry. Now, I call Jeff Goodman because Jerry took shots at Jeff.
Right.
So really, we just need Jerry and Jeff to get on a podcast together and just go at it. But
just hash it out, man.
Jeff Goodman has been the most outspoken critic on Jerry, and he has said some things. You know, when you talk about someone not working hard, okay, well, how do you know that? You know, but the quote was in the story. And so, you know, I think there is some of that going around on Jerry, and it's like, so what is your, like, what's your corroboration on that, that he doesn't work hard? I mean, look, this is going to come down very simple. If he wins, then and everything's going to be fine. And some of this stuff where, like, he's thin-skinned, combative, all this stuff, which I think is fair, but it becomes he's defiant and he speaks out against his critics. You know, he gets ripped for calling out his player, Miles Studi, after presser. Rick Barnes does this every game.
Yeah.
And again, yeah. Rick Barnes has won enough and all that. So it's like, hey, that coach is a, you know, he really holds his guys accountable. Same thing with Tom Izzo. I covered him forever. Dude, he ripped guys all the time. Okay, well, you win enough, and it's like people are like, yeah, all right, he's accountable. But now it's like, you know, Stackhouse gets trashed for it. You know, and I think, look, I think he has some valid concerns. I also think he's probably would – he'd be wise to just delete the Twitter app for a while. I mean, that's what I would tell him to do. You know, I think we're fine.
That may
fine.
Be good advice for all of us.
Yeah. No, you're right, because I – you know, I certainly get into things too often on there. But, yeah, I think the transcript that comes out later, you'll see the quote and where it was. And, I mean, it's – I mean, really, the quote itself was out of context. He just sort of threw that in there. And I did not think that much of it. I didn't – I mean, I was just like, okay, yeah, that makes sense. Obviously, some people have taken it and run with it and twisted it into, like, Stackhouse says, you know – racist Trump-loving fans are the reason his team ever misses a shot, I mean, you know, or whatever. I mean, there's people out there who want to take stuff and twist it and get clicks, and that's part of reality. Honestly, that's where I do think that I messed up here, is I should have anticipated that, because it wasn't worth just that quote in the story then overshadowing everything else, including, like, the best Vanderbilt basketball performance Saturday that I've seen in a long time.
I was going to say, like, we talked about it a little bit on Friday, that part of this conversation has been wins have been hard to come by, especially at the SEC level. And then they come out on Saturday, pretty dominant in that game, and win the game. And then a lot of the conversation after the game is around this and the piece that you ran. So it's kind of weird and, I guess, funny to a certain degree on that part of it, that you come out and Vanderbilt, I think, had their best performance that they've had in a couple years on Saturday.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's too bad that got overshadowed. But, you know, this story – I mean, I think this story is an accurate representation of Jerry Stackhouse. And, again, people can have their opinions on him either way. You know, they can like it or not. And I've heard from a lot of Vanderbilt fans who love it and others who don't. But, again, it'll be a strong consensus either way based on how the basketball goes moving forward. You know, and the question of – whether he can recruit, like, good enough talent to, like, compete at the highest level of the SEC. I mean, I think that's a fair question. I would also say the model is kind of what Kevin Stallings did, you know, before Bryce Drew. A lot of guys like this who you develop, you have older teams, and you can win that way. But, you know, we'll see.
Preds fans, make sure you're joining us Wednesday from 6 to 7 p.m. for Smashville Live. Smashville Live airs every Wednesday on 102.5 The Game during the Preds season, and we'll feature Preds players, former players, and other special guests. And we've gone virtual this year, so that means you can watch the show online via 102.5 The Game's Twitch, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and thegamenashville.com. Smashville Live brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, and Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. To view or listen to past shows, go to thegamenashville.com/Smashville Live. We'll be right back. We'll revisit the poll question of the day and look ahead to tonight's Preds game against Dallas as well. All that coming up. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Hope everybody is being safe out there today. Obviously, the roadways, traveling conditions are not great out there today. So if you've got to be somewhere, make sure you're taking your time. Make sure you're being careful. And Ryan Porth, our fearless leader, made the pursuit into the station last night right around 10:30. And it was already starting to get a little dicey then. It is certainly a lot more dicey now. And Porth, as we know, more weather coming on the way now. I'm sure we'll keep people updated all day long today on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Yes, we will. And I know for a fact that myself and Elijah Campbell are here. I don't know who else is going to be able to get here today. And as I was telling y'all during the break, we may not be leaving today. So might be a second straight night of sleeping here at the studio.
Is the air mattress at least comfortable?
Yes. Thank God that I went out and got a new air mattress for the Airbnb for the Winter Classic in Dallas, because the other air mattress that we have at the house has a hole in it. So thanks be to that new air mattress, because it was quite comfortable in comparison.
So you've got betting.
Yes, not sports betting, though.
Yeah. Okay. Well. Okay. Well done.
First dad joke of the day. Okay. Fourth way to go.
Had to meet the quota.
Yeah, nice. Got it. Got to get that in. What about the personal hygiene situation? You equipped? Like you have soap? You know, like you got deodorant? I mean,
I've got half of that.
Okay.
I've got deodorant, but no soap.
Well, I think there's liquid soap in the bathrooms.
This could get rowdy.
Yeah. Ditto. It could absolutely get rowdy. I've got one change of clothes.
Send food, people. Send food and soap and a
prayers
comb
for Ryan Porth.
Yes, send a very clean hat. So if you have a real clean, good-looking hat, it'll cover up everything else.
I've got two clean hats, and I've got one change of clothes, and I've got frozen chicken sandwiches that I've put in the little mini fridge here at the station, and a couple snacks, and that's about it. So it's going to get
Elijah in yet?
Oh, Elijah slept here last night.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He slept here too. Yeah, yeah. Okay. I was going to say have him like stop somewhere and load up, but never mind.
Well, our fearless owner.
You better ration those things.
Yes, exactly. Our fearless owner, Bud Walters, did just stop into the control room and say that he was going to go out and get some food for everybody. So hopefully that can get us by.
Very nice.
I might try to drive out there now.
I wouldn't advise that, Joe.
We wish you good luck on that endeavor. And we'll, who knows, maybe you'll be overnight again. We'll be talking to you again tomorrow here from the studio as well. Let's revisit our poll question of the day at 102.5 The Game on Twitter. Today's poll question revolving around J.J. Watt. Titans fans, what would be your financial limit to signing J.J. Watt this offseason? So the options are $5 million, $8 million, $10 million, or do whatever it takes. 271 votes are in, 34% going with $8 million being the limit, 24% say do whatever it takes, 22% say $5 million, and 20% going with $10 million. So $8 million still leading the way in the clubhouse of that's the limit if you're the Tennessee Titans, but also, Joe, pretty sizable portion going with, man, you got to do whatever it takes to bring that guy into the fold for the Titans. Get that guy in a Titans uniform.
Yeah, I'm going to repeat this from earlier. If you are a do-whatever-it-takes person, there's two reasons to do this. I want you to take a cold shower right now. I mean, you got to just chill out on J.J. Watt. Like, it's not 2015. Also, if you take a cold shower, that will be good for the pipes. You don't want your pipes to freeze up. So maybe a lukewarm, I guess, is okay given the weather.
Maintenance man Joe Rexroad at your service today here on the program. Joe,
yeah, take a shower, which Porth can't do, you know?
Yeah, exactly. You got to make sure personal hygiene remains a top priority during this time that we're in Icemageddon right now in Nashville, Tennessee. Joe, we talked to Corey Curtis a little bit earlier in the show today about J.J. Watt, and he was roughly in the same ballpark, I think, as us. You know, right around, you know, $5, $6, $7 million, probably the comfort zone. I question, based on some of the numbers that I've read off in the show today, how realistic. For instance, like, you know, Pro Football Focus came out with their projections, and they've got J.J. Watt signing a two-year contract for $25 million, $20 million of which is guaranteed. Like, if I'm the Titans, I don't think I can approach that, especially, like, given all the different needs that you've got to address this offseason, including on the edge. Like, do I think J.J. Watt could come in and help this team? Yes. For that price, if I'm the Titans, I don't know really how you could get anywhere near that.
No, I mean, if that's your investment, you know, then again, you're without knowing everything else, I think certainly there's going to be some cuts. I think also there's going to be a strong bid for the Titans to keep a couple guys. But without knowing everything, I mean, you're going to try to create some space. But if you invest a lot in him, like to me, you're saying, I believe J.J. Watt is a 10-sack guy still in this right. league, and that he's going to be healthy, and he's going to give us a full season. Like, you can't have 5-sack mentor J.J. Watt for $8 million. You can't do it because you can't sign anyone else of consequence on the free agent market. You're going to draft someone too. You have to completely rebuild that situation on the edge. I mean, if you invest that much in him, you are now relying on cobbling together him, Landry, another kind of low-priced free agent, and a rookie to get enough pass rush. I personally would rather put a bigger chunk toward someone in their mid-20s who could actually be maybe not as dominant as J.J. Watt in his prime, but could be a double-figure sack game record type player. I just think that's a better investment than Watt at this point. Now, if you can get him at 5-6, okay. To me, maybe then you still have flexibility to get another at least, $8 million type player there.
Yeah, and to your point, like obviously the Titans, they're going to be continued to be linked in this discussion based on a couple of things. Number one, how bad they were in terms of their pass rush last year that we've talked about a ton here on the show. And also, obviously, the connection with Mike Vrabel and Shane Bowen and that defensive staff that J.J. Watt has worked with before. So there's a natural connection point there. And look, I buy that the Titans are going to be interested in this. Like, I think a lot of teams are going to be interested in J.J. Watt. I just wonder what the price tag, like how far can it go before the Titans are out? And to me, like my absolute maximum number is probably like $7 million. Like that's as high as I can go. You start getting any higher than that. And Joe, I think what you brought up about trying to bring in some other pieces, it just becomes hard at that point. Unless if you're the Titans, you think the defensive side of the ball, it's worth bringing in J.J. Watt that much. To the point where maybe you're willing to let Corey Davis and Jonnu Smith go on offense. And I just have a hard time seeing that being the route the Titans go.
I mean, I guess if you want to go direct comparison, would you rather have Matt Judon at, $14 million or J.J. Watt at $10 million? I mean, to me, it's an easy choice, and it's not Watt. But I understand – I think Watt right now, and this happens in this league – he's getting, the name brand superstar of the past inflation at this point. And another thing with him, though, is I think he will sign for less money at a place where he thinks he can win a ring. I don't think there's any question that's going to be very much a priority for him.
The Nashville Predators back in action tonight against the Dallas Stars. Puck drop at 7:30, pregame at 6:30. Right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Joe, very quickly, as you look ahead to this game for the Predators against Dallas, what do you want to see, particularly early in this game, that lets you know they're in a much better spot than they were on Saturday night?
Anger, intensity, maybe a fight, although, you don't want them in the box.
Right.
But you just want to see somebody responding with the same kind of passion and fury that you're seeing from the fan base right now, which is completely understandable.
It is, and we'll see if the Predators are able to do that tonight against the Dallas Stars. Obviously, they've not had a ton of success against the Stars so far this season. Stars have been struggling a little bit as of late. Maybe an opportunity for the Predators to find themselves in the win column tonight in Dallas. That's going to do it for us today here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll be back 6 a.m. tomorrow. Make sure you stay tuned all day long. Darren Donica Chase coming up next. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game.